Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And so we move the goalposts yet again. We said opening day in Seattle was low ebb. We said falling behind 14-1 in Phoenix was low ebb. We said allowing Lourdes Gurriel Jr. to steal a home in the Fenway opener was low ebb. We said allowing Chris Davis to hit home runs and losing 2 out of 4 to the Orioles, also low ebb. Oh, we were all so innocent then. This is the new location of low ebb. It is waking up on a Wednesday morning in Manhattan and realizing that you, the defending World Series champions, are 6-12 and just got blasted by the Pinstripes 8-0. So join us as we carry these goalposts further down the road here on Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. Oh, it's your daily Sox podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
Anyone remember the final scene of Animal House? Great movie, which is now very old, but the citizens of the town are rioting after Delta House has crashed its float into the review stand, flipping Dean Vernon Wormer and his minions straight up in the air. Down the street, a young crew-cut Kevin Bacon is insisting that everyone remain calm, all is well. He says it several times, but obviously his favorite students and faculty thunder towards him. He turns into a Kevin Bacon pancake, and the chaos continues unabated. I will not be Kevin Bacon and tell you that all is well. There is ample evidence suggesting it is not. I will remind you that it's still very early, and everyone in the AL East besides the Rays are also some measure of not so good. But even with that gentle reminder, all is hardly well. An 8-0 embarrassment as the Red Sox and Yankees began their annual Clash of the Titans thing Tuesday night in the Bronx. Of course, that big game feel wasn't really there. The teams had come in combined 12-21, so no Goodyear blimp overhead, no Fox television showing random celebrities. In fact, it had been 27 years since both teams were below 500 when playing each other at least 15 games into a season. You'd have to go back to the summer of 1992 when Wright said Fred was too sexy for his shirt, and before the first Mighty Ducks movie came out. That was a long time ago. Both teams, obviously, have disappointed so far, but at least the Yankees have a decent excuse. Half their team is hurt. For Boston, they had come in allowing 106 runs, most in baseball. 15 errors ranked worst in the American League. Minus 32 run differential, worst. Lou Maloney pointed out on OMF yesterday that the Sox were 31-7 last year against Toronto and Baltimore. So far this year, they're 3-3. So even coming into this series, there have been major issues. And I'll name drop another media type. The Athletic's Chad Jennings did a very nice summary talking about how the strike throwers aren't throwing many strikes. Hector Velazquez, for example, had not walked a batter in 12 outings, about 19 innings to late last year. Then he walks 4 against the Orioles. Evaldi, Porcello, normally low walk guys, 22 walks and 6 starts between him this year. The offense, supposedly so deep, actually very thin right now. You've got Martinez, Moreland, and Bogarts with an OPS above 730. Well, and Benintendi too, but he can't play right now because he's got a sore foot. Everybody else is underwater. The rotation has been one guy. It's been David Price. He's the only one with an ERA below 7.98. Chris Sale, over. Eduardo Rodriguez, over. Evaldi, etc. The fundamentals are not strong. Rafael Devers just made his 5th error the other day, so he's tied for the Major League lead yet again. Red Sox are tied for the 2nd most of any team. So kind of along those lines, talking about frustrating, sloppy play and what could maybe happen to give everything a tweak. Earlier in the day, the news got out. The Red Sox have called up Sandy Leon from Pawtucket. He replaces Blake Swihart, who the Red Sox simply designated for assignment bit of a shocking move. It absolutely represented a major shakeup. Yeah, and everybody assumes Swihart's going to get picked up by somebody. So a requiem for Blake Swihart in just a moment. But first, Dave Dombrowski explaining to everybody before the game.
I really, in spring training and our catching, we had a really a split camp on what move we were going to make. We debated it long and hard. Finally decided to go in this direction because it actually is finally my decision. It ended up being a spot where we also thought we might get Leon through waivers, which we did, so we could have some depth. But then as we got here at this point, you know, we're really, there's only one move you can make, and it's with Swihart if you're going to replace him. And so for us, we just figured we wanted to bring Leon up to handle our pitching staff. He's really good at it. And so we're in a position, that's what we decided to do. Well, in our conversations, I mean, we have had a split camp on it, sure. We have a split camp. Which is, you know, we disagree on a lot of different things. But sure, a lot of people wanted Sandy, sure. I mean, we as we told you all along, we like Sandy a lot. We know what his strengths are, which is handling a pitching staff. He brings a lot of intangibles to a club. The way he handles the staff, the comfort zone there in that regard. And so, you know, it's a decision we decide to make at this point. But again, I'm not saying that that's the sole factor that we struggle, but I think it'll help us. And I think when you have a club, when I say that's struggling in a lot of different areas, which we are, which a lot of times clubs do, you try to fix little things at a time. And for us, okay, we try to get a little bit better defensively behind a plate and a little comfort zone there with the starting staff working with them.
It just seems like the organization could never find Blake Swihart the right fit or the right opportunity. The one chance he had to be the Red Sox opening day catcher was in 16, and he just wasn't ready, wasn't experienced enough back then. They moved him to the outfield, he hurt his ankle. And they tried to get him into the infield, but there was always that caveat that he also had to prepare as a catcher, which is pretty demanding, so that was never going to happen. You can't really do that on the fly. If only the Sox had traded him in the Cole Hamels deal that supposedly was there a few years ago. Maybe this guy's a big league star in Philadelphia now, and JT Realmuto is somewhere else. But neither here nor there at this point. We'll keep you updated on where Blake Swihart ends up. It would be shocking if he stays in the organization. So the current Red Sox, they're off to the worst start by a defending World Series champion since the fire sale Marlins of 98. They started 4-14. Of course, Dave Dombrowski was there for that one, but very different dynamic. Coming into this game at Yankee Stadium, at least there was the glimmer of Chris Sale's history against the Yankees. Career 1.6 ERA, that includes what he did last October. Beat the Yankees in game one of the ALDS. 5 1/3 innings, a two-run ball, 8 strikeouts in the clinching game four. He had a very dominating eighth inning, so that was some feel-good for sure. And you looked at the Yankees roster into this game, so many roster changes since then. 11 players on the injured list right now. No more Echevarria, no more Lance Lynn, Andrew McCutchen gone, David Robertson gone, Neil Walker's elsewhere. But in comes James Paxton, and that would be kind of a big deal. Paxton came out throwing 99. Sale, with his catcher back, he's got Sandy Leon now, no excuses. He came out throwing 97 a couple times. Not really sure if that's a cause and effect thing, but you had a 97-mile-an-hour Sale in the first inning, Paxton at 99, and you're thinking, okay, game on. Here we go. Well, scoreless into the third, bottom of, Brett Gardner leads off with a double to right. Sale does come back to get two quick outs, but then DJ LeMahieu, who's batting 400, singles in Gardner, 1-0 Yankees. Aaron Judge walks, Luke Voit follows up with another single, and because Eduardo Nunez wasn't really paying attention at second base when Jackie Bradley throws the ball in, Judge able to sneak back to the bag on what would have been the final out of the inning. And it looked like it would have been before LeMahieu crossed the plate, so it would have stayed 1-0 at that point. The defense has not been a crisp red apple this year. It's been more like a mushy banana. So, indeed, it gets to 2-0 Yankees off Sale. Sale recovers. He strikes out Gleyber Torres on a curve, of all things. 11 swings and misses through 50 pitches after three. You can work with that. Not bad at all, but down 2-0 anyway. Top of the fourth, we're thinking, how about a quick response? That was such a hallmark of 2018. If an opponent gets two runs, the Sox would come right back at two or three or four. So the struggling Mookie Betts doubles. Xander Bogaerts gets him to third. And regarding Mookie, expanding on pitches that are nowhere near the strike zone right now, that's one thing. He took a changeup down the middle and then whiffed on a ball that was way off the plate in that last game against the Orioles. It was a 3-21 homestand, so a .222 batting average coming into this game. And not alone. Dustin Pedroia hitting .105 coming in. Jackie Bradley, .149. Nunez, .184. Brock Holt, who's now at Pawtucket rehabbing, .116. Steve Pierce, .125. Maybe could have used a little bit more time rehabbing before coming back. But speaking of Pierce, after J.D. Martinez flied out in that inning, Pierce flies out to right. And a quick little remembrance just to make you happy for a moment. Pierce's big play from last October at Yankee Stadium, the stretch. Remember that? The right shoe stuck just barely to the base when he got that throw from Nunez. And it was a paused celebration there. Everybody thought that game four was over and there would have to be no game five. It was all good. Went to replay. And sure enough, Pierce kept that foot barely on the bag. That was good times back then. But now, inning four, as opposed to game four, Pierce simply flies out. Moreland strikes out. The Mitchie magic has dried up lately. And the promising thought of the bounce-back inning just goes kablooey. No runs, two left in scoring position. 3-4-5 in the order were up. With runners at second and third, they got nothing. To the bottom of the fourth, Yankees get two more runs. Not ideal. Clint Frazier, home run to right. Another run scores on a two-out single and a two-out double. 4-0 Yankees. And the third and fourth innings have been a killer this year. Basically, second time through the batting order, right? So here's runs allowed by inning up to date. 7 in the first, not a problem. 13 in the second, that's about average. But then 25 in the third, 19 in the fourth before it recedes and gets back to a normal 10 allowed in the fifth inning. And indeed, nothing across in the fifth inning for either team, actually. And it was a one-hit shutout through five for Big Maple, James Paxton. Same guy who was hammered last time out by Houston, was pulled in the fifth inning, was just grooving in this game. Top of the sixth, 2-3-4 in the order up there for Boston. Ground out, strikeout. It's a one-hitter through six for Big Maple. Sale goes out. Erasmo Ramirez comes in up early in the day as part of that roster shakeup. Marcus Walden having been optioned to Pawtucket. Ramirez, if you don't really know him, one-time starter in Seattle and Tampa Bay. Last year, some lat issues and his eventual release. Nicaraguan changeup specialist. So is everybody ready for the Erasmo Ramirez experience? Here was his bottom of the sixth. Gio Urshela doubles, Gardner walks, Zach Bunt moves them along. Then freaking Mike Tauchman hits his second career Major League home run. Welcome aboard, Erasmo. Mike Tauchman, the 289th pick of the 2013 draft, makes it 7-0 Yankees. Bottom of the seventh, still a one-hitter for Paxton. The only hit still to Bogaerts double to right that was almost a home run. But you know what was really a home run? The 86-mile-an-hour cutter right down the middle from Disastro Ramirez to Gleyber Torres in the bottom of the seventh. 8-0 Yankees. Man. Paxton, meantime, 12th career game with double-digit strikeouts, close to his second-ever no-hitter. He would end up with 12 strikeouts, including six straight late in the game. Finally, in the top of the eighth, there was a two-out double from JBJ, best contact all game, but a feeble pop-up from Mookie, and that was that. Paxton with one of the best games pitched against the Red Sox in the last 45 years, seriously. Two other instances we found of eight innings, one or two hits, at least 12 strikeouts against Boston. Mike Mussina famously did it to the 2001 Red Sox, the near-perfect game on Sunday Night Baseball. Jason Bure of the White Sox in September of 93, the other guy. And I've got the Red Sox lineup from that game. You ready? Billy Hatcher led it off in center. Mike Greenwell in left. Scott Cooper at third. A young Mo Vaughn hitting cleanup. Rob Deer was in right. Greg Blosser was a DH. Bob Melvin was the catcher. Now, of course, the Oakland manager. Tim Nehring at second. Luis Rivera at short. John Dobson was the pitcher. Only hit in that game was a pinch hit from the long-lost Jeff McNeely. I looked him up. He is now a middle school principal in Charlotte, North Carolina, owner of 11 career Red Sox hits. That's eight more hits than the current Red Sox got in this game. It's an 8-0 loss. Chris Sale's last four-game losing streak was back in the summer of 2013. Now here it is, just the middle of April. He is 0-4, four starts along, ERA of 8.5. And courtesy of the Elias Sports Bureau, this is officially now the worst Red Sox starting ERA through 18 games in the history of ever. The previous mark, 6.96, that was back in 1931. And after this El Stinkador from Sale, it's 7.18 this year through 18 games. The Red Sox starter Wednesday night has been just as bad as Sale so far. Nate Eovaldi's got an 8.4 ERA, six homers allowed in 15 innings. Max Muncy apparently unleashed a virus last October. Here's the good news. The Yankees are going to counter with Jay Happ, and his ERA is worse than Sales and Eovaldi's. His is 8.76. Last time out, 6 runs on 9 hits in 4 innings. So that's a break for the Sox, potentially. And looking ahead to the 3 games in Tampa Bay, there's another break, the small break in Blake Snell's fourth toe on his right foot. This is a true story. Snell said he was getting out of the shower Sunday night, decided to move a decorative stand in the bathroom that he didn't realize was in two parts, and as he lifted the bottom piece, turns out that was made of granite, it fell on his foot. So there is that. We can all now picture a naked Blake Snell hobbling around, grabbing his fourth toe. Not much else in terms of joy in Mudville right now. Let's hear from the manager about how it all went so wrong at Yankee Stadium Tuesday night and where it all goes from here. Here is Alex Cora.
I think, you know, stuff-wise, that was his best one. He's location-wise. We're good?
Yeah.
It was fire. I mean, with Garner, LeMahieu, it was supposed to be a fastball up and in, and it was a fastball up and away. He hung that changer to Frazier, but, you know, if we something positive about it today, you know, stuff was there. Slider was better. I think, you know, he's getting closer to the guy that we know he can be.
Well, that's all reasonably rosy, but how about we get an assessment from the man himself? Here's Chris Sale.
Like I said, I don't know. I don't know. I got to find a way to... I got to find a way to pitch better. I mean, this is flat out embarrassing for my family, for my team, for our fans. This is about as bad as it gets. I have to pitch better. I keep saying the same things, but at the end of the day, you go out there and give up 4 runs here, 5 runs here, 7 runs here, and I get into the 6th, 7th inning like I should. I mean, that's who I am. I'm supposed to pitch the 6th, 7th, 8th inning, finish games and stuff like that, save our bullpen. Cut it off when we're losing and keep winning streaks going, and that's not who I've been. I got to get back to that.
Accountable, if nothing else, bad ERA, but accountable. We now return you to Alex Cora.
Throw 97 with that slider. How surprising is it to see so much strong contact, solid contact?
Like I said, it's the misfires. You know, I think you know, we were one pitch away to you know get out of that inning the first when they scored the first run with LeMahieu, and it was a fastball up and away, and he goes the other way. The changeup, Frazier took advantage of it. He hung a slider, and for the double, you know, it's one of those that I don't want to say it's a work in progress because we're not here to you know like build up whatever, but it feels that you know. I'm not going to be surprised if he's next out and, you know, he's right where we need him to be. I think stuff-wise, you compared it to the first three, the velocity was there, the slider was a lot better today. So I think he's very close to the real, I mean, quote-unquote, the real Chris Sale.
Alex, what do you think your approach against Paxton?
His stuff was a lot better than the last one he showed against Houston. The velocity was way up. He barely used his breaking ball the first part of the game. His cutter was a tough one. We had second and third, no outs, and within a score. And from there, they took off. You know, he used his fastball a lot, you know, in and out, up. It just, we weren't able to catch up with it.
You had the two guys up you wanted there, yeah. Men on base. I mean, is that kind of the spot there were?
I mean, that's what we try, you know. You know, Xander balls doesn't go out by inches, you know. But it's still a good situation for us, second and third, and we weren't able to score. And, you know, from there on, you know, they add on. And obviously, in the position we were in, I'm not going to push Chris to go out there for 6, you know. And, you know, we had to go with Ramirez, and they did what they did.
How's Mookie doing?
He's doing okay. I mean, you saw, you know, he went for that ball, whatever. I guess he was moving his wrist. He came down here, and he's fine, you know. He's searching. He's searching offensively. You know, there's some pitches there that he knows he can catch up with it, and he's missing his pitch right now. You know, he worked the walk. He worked the count. You know, today at least you can see, you know, he was more swinging in the strike zone, but still, you know, he's still searching for that swing.
Alex, what do you detect among your players? You know, this is obviously not what you thought you'd be like at this point in the season.
I mean, like I said, you keep working. We have a talented group. Obviously, you know, like I've been saying all along, you know, we need to, you know, get going sooner rather than later, you know. But you know, you keep preaching what we preach, you know, and we show up tomorrow, we get ready, and we got Hap, who we know is a good pitcher. We got to go out there and battle, you know, get ready to compete and go from there.
Did you sense any doubt creeping into their minds?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of guys searching for stuff, you know. You can see it, they're working, they get here early and all that. And but I think at the end, you know, when it's 7:05 or 6:35, you know, you go out there and compete. That's the only thing you can do right now.
What was the biggest thing that you saw hampering Erasmo?
You know, he threw a, what was it, like a cutter inside, down and in, you know, pitches, you know, like that's a lineup that regardless of who they have, you know, if you leave pitches in the heart of the plate, you know, they put good swings on it. So that was it.
Alex, are you all concerned about the runners in scoring position? We've talked about it a couple times this year, or is this more of that where Paxton's stuff is just so good?
I mean, his stuff was good today, but at the same time, you know, we faced guys with stuff before, you know, and we just didn't get the job done today with second and third.
That's the skipper, and I wish I had better news for you. Obviously, you know, you start a project like this, you think it's because everybody just wants to race to the podcast portal and hear what's so great about the Red Sox, and still here's the new guy telling you that the Red Sox are 6-12 and that the Orioles are better right now. It was just one game. It was just one game. Let's just keep repeating that. It was just one game. Problem is, there have been 11 other kind of like that so far this year. Okie doke. Gotta go. 6-12 record. It can only get better from here unless the goalposts move again. This is Josh Lewin. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.